established that very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4. And the work of the evangelist is to come into local churches like this one to encourage, to exhort, to rebuke, to correct with all long suffering. And it's an opportunity for us to have a stirring in our hearts for living for Christ. And I believe that the gift is still active. I believe in the gift of the evangelist. And that's why we have them here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And so the young family that travels full time, they have their camper that they pull around the country and preach in churches. And Brother Young specifically, I'm going to have him promote his podcast and some other resources that he and his wife have done together over this week. He has just a real burden and special interest in the home. And I believe Brother Young is unlike some others that I've come across with. When you're under Brother Young's ministry, it doesn't come across as that he's a know-it-all or arrives or, hey, you just this formula, this 12-step program and you'll be just fine. No, he just gets us in the Word. He gets us in tune with what the Holy Spirit is teaching through the Word, and it's a blessing. He's been a special encouragement to many churches across this country, and I believe it's going to happen again this week. So, Brother Young, you come and you preach what God's put on your heart.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church family. I am Dave Young, and I've been young all my life. And I'm so happy to be with you guys. My family's here with me. And Bethany and I have been married 29 years next month. And I'm so glad that we've traveled all these years together, been on the road literally from the day we said I do. And we have five youngins. Sounds like a bluegrass band, doesn't it? We have five youngins, and my oldest is Abigail. She's married to David, and he's a professor. He teaches at West Coast Baptist College, and she serves in the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. My son Joshua is married to a pastor's daughter, and her name is Bethany, and they are on staff at Horizon Baptist Church in Camarillo, California. He's the youth pastor, and they're expecting our first grandchild next month. And we're pretty excited about that, as many of you would understand. My son Matthew is married to a pastor's daughter. Her name is Kareth, and they are on staff at New Life Baptist Church in Odenville, Alabama. That's just near Birmingham, and he's a youth pastor there. And they're doing just great. We'll get to see them at the end of this week. They're going to come spend a couple of days with us, and we're just so blessed. My son Jake is here. He'll be preaching to the boys and girls in junior church this morning, as well as during the evening services, running a children's rally. And so he's here. He is a sophomore this fall at West Coast Baptist College. And Charity Noel is the caboose. And I usually say the baby, but she told me this summer that I need to quit calling her the baby. But she is the baby, at least in the family. She's in ninth grade this fall. And she's over with the teenagers right now. We're so happy to be with you guys and serve you. These 4 days are going to fly. You know that, don't you? So plan to be in every service. Amen. Just plan to be in every service. I am not a long-winded preacher. In fact, I can tell you I have never preached over 3 hours. And so it won't be long services. Seriously, I know the summers are busy. It's daylight late. And but come on to the service. We'll sing a little bit. We'll study God's Word. We'll let God work in our heart. And I'll be very conscious of your time, but we want God to work in our lives. And how many of you agree all of us need revival in the family? Is that a given? And I don't think I've ever met anybody who would disagree with that. If all is well in your family, then you ought to get on your knees every day and put your hands in the air and praise God that all is well. And if all isn't well, you ought to be looking to God's Word and getting on your knees and saying, God help. How many of y'all believe God helps? And so we can seek the Lord no matter what's going on. If all is well or all is horrible in your life, there's a loving, amazing, almighty God who's given us His Word. And the answers are in His Word. Y'all believe that? And so let's go there. We've got, let's see, it's 9:15. Am I right about that? And so we've got just about 30 minutes to get to God's Word. Find the book of Genesis. And start in Genesis chapter 1. If you can't find Genesis, locate Obadiah and go to the left. And eventually you'll find the book of Genesis. And I'll give you just a moment to get there. And we'll just jump right in and get started. Genesis chapter 1 is where it all starts, you know. This is where the family starts. And it was God's idea. And God had a wonderful plan here in giving us the family. And you find it beginning in verse 26. So start in Genesis chapter 1, and verse 26 is where we'll begin, and let's read about it. The Bible says, And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And notice these little words right here. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And in verse 29, God says, I've given you food to eat. And in verse 30, he reminds them of that same truth. I've given you food to eat. And in verse 31, he says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You get an explanation of that a little deeper in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 15, he expounds a little bit on what he just taught us in chapter 1. And in verse 15 of chapter 2, the Bible says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. How many of y'all praise God that God said that? How many of y'all thank God that you're married? Anybody here happy you're married? And God says, it's not good for you to be alone. I need to make somebody for you. And so here's how God did it. In this great verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now I just got to stop and tell you, every time I read that, I chuckle. The Bible says God put him to sleep, and he slept. That just strikes me as kind of funny. I put people to sleep in my preaching sometimes, and so I identify with that a little bit, but I suppose if God puts you to sleep, you'll sleep, won't you? Does that make sense? And so God put him to sleep, and he slept. And while he's asleep, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The word woman here is a word, it's a kind of a play in Hebrew. In our Hebrew Bible, it's like he's saying, she's another me. You know, the animals, there was another one. There was another one. But there was nobody for Adam. And God put him to sleep, took out a rib, made a woman, brought her to Adam, awakened him. Can you imagine? That must have been an exciting awakening, huh? And he awakened, and here is his bride, and God's about to perform a wedding. And here's what Adam says, she's another me. Here's somebody else just like me. No wonder the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord, because we find another us, somebody to be there with us, a friend. Another. And somebody said to me not long ago, a friend of mine whose wife had passed away, he said, I feel like part of me is gone. And you know what this passage is saying? He's exactly right. Part of him is gone. Because she's another me. And so then the Bible adds to it in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, how many of you know these verses? You know them? This is where it all starts. God made the world. You believe that, don't you? We believe in creation. We do not believe that everything's an accident in an evolutionary process. We believe there is a divine, almighty God who divinely created and made this world specifically the way He wanted it. And He made it in perfection. Wouldn't you like to live in that day? In perfection, where there was no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no disease, no dying, no sadness, no tears. Could y'all handle that? Wouldn't that be an incredible way to live? And that's where they lived. And God made Adam and Eve. And God did the first wedding. God married them together. And something happened right away. We just read about God's amazing creation of a marriage, a family. In chapter 3 and verse 1, begins with these words. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, if God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And you know the story. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Let's talk on this subject this morning here in Sunday school. Under attack. Let's talk about under attack. Here's where it all started. In the Garden of Eden, when all was perfect and the land was amazing, and right away, we get no break from chapter 2 and the end of it to chapter 3 and verse 1. No break at all, because the Bible says now, God made a world and immediately the enemy wanted to destroy it. God made a marriage and immediately the enemy attacks it. To destroy the world, what did the enemy do? He attacked the family. And he jumped right in immediately and went to battle over the family. And how many of y'all know there's nothing new under the sun? The enemy is still trying to destroy the family. Are you aware of that? Let's start with marriage, because that's where the Bible does. If you're married, now it's going to catch you off guard, but y'all help me out here. If you're married, I want you to stand, all right? If you're married, I want you to stand. So you're going to help me with my opening illustration, all right? So you that aren't married, just hang in there. If you're married, I want you to stand, and I want you to sit down if, all right? Now be honest, because we're in church, all right? Sit down if you would say, our wedding, all right? But let's just start. How many of y'all remember your wedding day? Anybody here remember your wedding day? All right, now, sit down if you or your spouse were in tears more than once because of your wedding day. Sit down if you and your spouse were in tears more than once because of your wedding day. You were in tears more. Now, that happens. Now, this is a little tricky one. I started to say, sit down if your mother or mother-in-law was the cause of the tears. But I thought I probably shouldn't do that one. Sit down if you would say, our wedding day was perfect, but there were some glitches. Anybody here go with that one? There were some glitches. It was a perfect day, but there were some glitches. How many of y'all would go with that one? All right. Sit down if you would say, my wedding day was perfect, but there were some glitches. All right, then I got one more for you then. Sit down if you would say, my wedding day was perfect and it couldn't have been any better. Anybody? All right. Well, the rest of you are still standing. So this is, should we have a testimony service and get a little more skill? All right, you guys can have a seat then. And the reason I had you do that is because I want to ask you this. Wonder how Adam and Eve would have explained their wedding day. I want you to just think about that a moment. Wonder how Adam and Eve would explain their wedding day, because God took a rib and made a woman. And God's the one that married them, because the Bible says God blessed them. And so God did the wedding. That had to be an incredible wedding, don't you think? There was no family there to mess it up. They didn't have to worry about putting a rehearsal dinner together. Can I get an amen here? No reception. This is a pretty easy day. God's the one that did it. I don't know if the angels came. We don't know anything about it, except that we know that they had a wedding day. God married Adam and Eve. And he took out a rib and formed a woman and gave her to Adam, and God did the first wedding. Isn't that incredible to think about? I preached on that one time years ago at my son Matthew, who's in Alabama. My son Matthew, a few weeks later, we were home. We were eating at our table at our house. And my wife had made ribs for lunch, and so my son's on the other end of the table. I was at the head, and he's down at the other end, right across from me. And I don't know, a few moments into the meal, he got this real wild-eyed look, and he said, "Hey!" And from under the table, he came up with a rib that he had just cleaned it white. I mean, it was clean. He said, "Look, it's a wife." Now, that's not the idea necessarily, but God did take a rib, and God did make a woman. And so God performed the first wedding. And here's what I draw your attention to in this passage. As blessed as this wedding was, God did it in a perfect environment, in a perfect world. And immediately, the enemy attacks it. You know, don't you? We're under attack. And here's what we say. We'll say this often in our churches as Christians. We'll say, you know, I'll tell you right now, the family's sure under attack. Listen, I'll tell you right now, marriage is sure under attack. But have you ever personalized that? The point of Genesis 1 is not that marriage is under attack. The point in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is that your marriage is under attack. The point is not that the family's under attack. The point is your family is under attack. Are y'all following this morning? And so let's start there today. The enemy uses the same devices to attack our marriages and our families that he used in the Garden of Eden. He hasn't changed. And I read through this some months ago and I came up with five ways the enemy attacked their marriage. And it's the same way he's going to attack yours. Here are five ways he attacked their family. And it's the same five ways he's going to attack yours. And here's the first device he will use. I think we can get all five of them, and we got 15 minutes to do it. Y'all ready? Can you listen fast? Okay, you listen fast. If you're taking notes, write fast, and we'll just get going. All right, here's number one. You know what he'll use? He'll use separation. Here's what I mean by that. When you get to chapter 3 here, notice the Bible comes in verse 1. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that the serpent comes in. He's subtle. And notice there's only one dialogue going on. The serpent said unto the woman in chapter 3 and verse 1, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, and it's a dialogue between the serpent and Eve. And in verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And notice there's a little glimpse down here in chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says that she took it and she ate of it. And then she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now here's my question. Hey Adam, where are you? Where's Adam in this dialogue? There's two ways to look at this, and I have an opinion on which one is right, but I wouldn't separate from you if you disagree over it. There are some who believe very simply that Adam wasn't there. In another portion of the garden, perhaps? I don't know. But there is no doubt about it that Adam, who is created first and responsible, at the very least, he's silent and probably wasn't even there, is how many folks take it. The enemy is a master at separating us from each other. The enemy is a master at separating you from your spouse. And I don't mean in a divorce court. I just mean in life. We are a generation that is running and running and running and running and running. Mom goes here and dad goes there. And mom works and dad works. And we're busy paying for houses and cars and insurance and RVs and boats. And we're running and running and we're separated all the time. And we come home in our generation and there's even more separation at home. Our generation now has man caves. And I don't know that it's wrong to have a man cave. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, thou shaltest not as havenest a man cavest. So I don't know that I could say, you know, it's wicked to have a man. I couldn't say that biblically. I don't know that it's wrong. But it isn't amazing that our generation is separated. The kids go to their bedroom, close the door. If mom and dad are in the same room together, typically we do two different things in our generation. We're on, you know, one social media here, another social media there, the television's on. We're a generation that has mastered the art of separating from each other. We're not together anymore. And we've found ways to make our lives even busier. We call it sports. And we'll enroll our children in everything just in case they might make it big someday and be the key to our retirement. We'll enroll them in, you know, five different sports because surely out of five you can get one that you can make a living from. And now here's what we do. You know, we got the kids on Saturday at one place and sometimes a kid over here and a kid over there and a kid over here and a kid over there. And separation is still the way the enemy is attacking the family in our generation. We rarely have dinner together. We rarely pray together. Sometimes we don't even go to church together anymore. We're just a generation that's separated. And here's the tactic the enemy used in the Garden of Eden to destroy the home. It was a tactic of separation. Some believe that Adam was separated from Eve at this time, and Satan took advantage of that. Can I tell you the way I believe it? I believe that Adam was there and just simply separated himself from the situation. Now, I can't prove it, and I don't want to go, I don't want to read more into a text than what the Bible gives us the right to read. But in chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says that Eve gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, brothers and sisters, you tell me, how in the world is it that the devil is attacking the family in the Garden of Eden, and it appears that Adam is there with her and says absolutely nothing at all about what's going on? Is there anybody here besides me that would have thought, surely he would have spoken up? Surely he would have fought for his family, and instead he did what most men do, even in our generation. He stayed silent. How many of you men are aware of the fact that one of the curses in our lives as men is silence? We tend to be like this. Well, there's a problem, so I ain't saying nothing. The devil's a master at making us silent as men. I know men that basically, if their wife didn't have family devotions, the family would never have devotions. I know men that if their wife didn't encourage prayer at the table, there would be no prayer at the table when we sit to eat a meal. You know what the enemy's doing? He's trying to separate us, because that's one of the ways he destroys the family. Men, we ought to be really convicted here. Because as men, God's called us to stand up and be a man. And some of you men are hard workers and you make a good living, and yet, I say it gently, you're lousy when it comes to your family. I don't know y'all. I have not met any of you, so don't be offended. But if you're an average congregation, there are families in this church that never pray together. You know who's responsible for that? We men are. There are families in this church, and things aren't well in the family. And as a man, you're just sitting silently by while the devil is trying to destroy the home. Here's what the devil did. He used separation to attack the family. Do y'all follow that one? Here's something else he used. I got to hurry here. I could park on that one a long time. How many of y'all know that? We could park on that one a long time, and probably should, shouldn't we? But we're going to move on, because I got four more to give you, and now I got 8 minutes. All right? So we got to move fast. All right, here we go. The second one is miscommunication. Miscommunication. How many of y'all, praise God, that one of the great gifts God gave to us is the gift of communication? Have you ever thought about that? I'm glad I'm saved. Can you say amen to that? I'm glad I have a Bible. Can you say, that's a great gift, isn't it? I'm saved. I have salvation. I have the Bible. I thank God for the church. But one of the gifts we often overlook, given to us by Almighty God, is the gift called communication. Brothers and sisters, we can talk. Now, you know, animals can communicate. You know that, don't you? But not like we do. Animals will communicate. They can show some affection. But animals don't talk. They don't communicate on the level that we do. Because we are the only part of God's creation created in the image of God. I hope that doesn't catch you off guard. But your dog was not created in the image of God. You did know that, don't you? I mean, I have one. I'm thankful for animals. I was raised on a farm, so I have no problem with animals at all. But animals are not created in the image of God. We are, however, and one of God's great gifts to us is communication. How many of you are married? Let me see your hand, big and high. How many of y'all know that the devil is a master at attacking the family and marriage and the home via miscommunication? How many of y'all aware of that? Sometimes we just don't have any. We're just too busy to talk. We're too busy to share and to talk things through and solve issues and problems. Look in the text. And notice that Adam apparently did not communicate properly to Eve. God told Adam, do not eat of that tree. Do not eat of that tree. But Eve said,
We're not allowed to eat that tree. I don't even think we're supposed to touch it. You see a miscommunication there? Eve did not communicate with Adam. Why didn't Eve say to the serpent, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, I need to talk to my husband about this. There was no communication there. Have you ever noticed that I didn't read it, but are you familiar enough with the story to know that both of them lie to God? God says, hey, Adam, where are you? What's going on here? And Adam says, oh my goodness, he said, the woman you gave me. This is not the woman's fault. This is Adam's fault. Notice Adam will not take responsibility for the attack of the enemy on his family. Oh, you know, this woman you gave me. And so God says to Eve, what do you got to say about it? You know what Eve says? Well, you know, it's that serpent that you created. No, notice how there's no communication here. Miscommunication is a huge problem in the average family. How often do y'all connect on the level of real, genuine communication? How many of y'all know that life is busy? And we're a generation that has greater opportunities for connection than any other generation, don't we? We have cell phones. We have FaceTime. We have Facebook Messenger. We have Instagram messages. We have email. We even have this thing called face-to-face. Not many folks know about that anymore. If you don't believe that, go out to eat this afternoon and just watch people sitting in a restaurant. Nobody talks anymore. Is this not the weirdest generation we've ever lived in? We stare down. We're looking at a screen. Beth and I go out to eat and watch couples at restaurants. And they don't talk. They're on a date. I mean, they have enough money to go out to eat at a restaurant. And they don't even talk to each other. We watched this one couple, and they sat down, and he got his phone out, and he just looked at his phone the entire time, and she sat across from him just staring at him. She just sat there like this, and he never looked up. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if she just quietly got up and got in the car and went home? And you know, sometime later, he'd look up and go, wonder where she went. He'd probably assume she went to the bathroom, and he'd go back to reading, or watching, or scrolling, or looking. It's such a strange generation. You know, the enemy is still attacking the family. How many of y'all know that? And he uses separation. Can you see that? He'll separate you from your children. He'll separate you from your spouse. He'll separate you from that which is right. He wants you to be silent as a man. He wants you as a wife to go ahead and just do it your own way and not worry about your husband. Then he brings in miscommunication and nobody's talking. How many of y'all know there's power in two? Adam and Eve should have fought the enemy together, and instead Adam was silent. And when he did speak up, what he said didn't even fit. And he was blaming, and there's blame shifting and responsibility shifting. I'm telling you, the enemy's tactics have never changed. Can you all see that? Number three, he uses worldliness. You know, the point that's going on here in chapter 3 is that Adam and Eve decided this. You know what? Our way is better than God's way. We don't need God's way. Look at this. If we had taken this tree, and you know, don't you, that the tree is not the issue. There's nothing, as far as I can tell theologically, miraculous about the tree. Except in the sense that, apparently there was a tree in the garden that brought healing. We will see that again in Revelation in the New Jerusalem. There's a tree there for the healing of the nations. And apparently that's how you live forever. You eat of that tree and it gives life. I can't explain all that. That's a whole other sermon. But there's a sense in which this is not about a tree. This is about obedience. This is not about a tree. This is about limiting your free will to the obedience of God's word. Did I say that right? The issue here is God gave a command. The issue is taking your free will and lining it up by God's commands. Worldliness is when I take my free will, ignore God's commands, and do it my way. That's what worldliness is. And worldliness is killing our families. Our way is better than God's way. We want what is not rightly or wisely ours to have. And that's called worldliness. Sometimes it shows up in our debt. Sometimes it shows up that we go so far in debt in our generation that nobody has time to raise children because mom and dad both have to work long hours just to pay bills. I don't want to be offensive to you. But there's never been a babysitter alive that can raise your children better than you. And is it hard to live on a one income in the generation we live in? You better believe it. You'd probably have to live in a smaller house. Drive an older car. Maybe eat out less. Maybe have to shop at GW Fashions. Some people call that Goodwill. But that's beneath us, so we call it GW Fashions. Now, I'm not trying to be silly this morning, but I'm telling you, church, the enemy's attacking, and what he'll do is use worldliness. And it might be dead, it might be our materialism. You know, I need a new car. I need a new phone. I need more, 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 more. I need more, I need more, I need more, I need more. We want what is not rightly or wisely ours to have. Might be something as godless as adultery. I deserve that. My needs aren't being met in my marriage. And this guy right here, he's a lot nicer than my husband. Adultery always starts with worldliness. Did you know that? I have a need, and she's not meeting it. This lady here at work showing me a lot of attention. Oh, this is just an old buddy from high school. We're just chatting. Of course, we're keeping it secret because I don't want anybody to read our chat. It's worldliness. It's killing the family. It's destroying us. Two more. I was waiting for a bell. Is there a bell going to ring? Did a bell ring or did I miss it? I won't hear it in here. All right. So if you hear a bell, all right, let me know so I don't get shot, all right? The enemy will use disobedience, number four. They violated God's commands. In our marriages, I don't need to lead my home. I don't need a meek and quiet spirit. Isn't that all disobedience? When a husband says, you know what, I'm too busy to have family devotions, here's the word, disobedience to God. When a wife says, you know, that meek and quiet spirit junk, that's old fashioned. That's disobedience to God. Does this make sense? Aren't y'all glad you came to Sunday school? All right, isn't this good stuff? It's disobedience. It's killing. In our parenting. It's in our parenting. It shows up in our parenting. I know we're supposed to diligently teach our kids the Bible. But we don't have time for that. Who has time for that in our generation? Diligently teach your kids the Bible. Are you serious? I don't have time for that. I mean, got to watch the news. So we need to know what Nancy Pelosi's doing. Because if we didn't know, we might die unhappy. We got to figure out what the president's doing. Because if we didn't know it, well, who knows how we'd turn out. And that's our favorite show. Isn't it amazing that we've come to a place in our generation where we have no time for that which is important and that which we're giving our time to has no value? Am I making sense? It's just disobedience. Here's what he's trying to get them to disobey. And here's what it led to, and I'm done. The enemy is attacking the home right away. The first three chapters of the Bible, you find he's at work to destroy marriages and family. He used separation. He used miscommunication. He used worldliness. He used disobedience. And here was the goal. It was loss. The goal was for them to lose. His goal was for them to lose everything. And you know, don't you, what they lost. Do you know? They lost their relationship to God, didn't they? How many of y'all knew that? Did you know that? Which is why you need to be saved if you don't know Jesus Christ. Sin came into the world right here with Adam and Eve, and death passed on all men because all have sinned. The loss in the Garden of Eden was, no longer do I have a relationship with God. We are now separated from God because of sin. There was a loss in their relationship to God. There was a loss in their relationship to each other. Now, I don't want to go any further than I should, but notice what happened in their relationship to each other. How do you suppose she felt when Adam says to God, oh, you know the problem? It's this woman you gave me. Ladies, how would you have felt had you been Eve? and your husband said to God, it's not my fault, it's hers. Ladies, how would that have made you feel? Would you have felt real love for that man of yours at that moment in time? What do you think is going on here? They're losing. They've lost their relationship with each other. Wonder what kind of conversations they had while they were sowing fig leaves. That's your fault. Don't blame it on me. Where were you? Can you imagine what kind of conversations they must have had there? I don't like the way you sowed my fig leaf. Now they're bickering and fussing and fighting. They lost their relationship to God, their relationship to each other. They lost their home. They were removed from the Garden of Eden. And sadly enough, and I'm done, they lost their son. We don't find that to the next chapter. But because of the attack of the enemy on their family, they lost a son. He's now dead, killed by his own brother. I could almost say they lost two sons. One who murdered his brother, and that brother they had to bury him. Church, you know why we're having a family revival? Because your home is under attack. You know why we have a family revival and we set aside 4 days to seek God about our families? Because your marriage is under attack. And some of you are getting older now, and your children that are married, their marriage and family is under attack. And some of you have grandchildren. And I will promise you, their lives are under attack. And I'm here to tell you what you'll find in the pages of God's Word is that a victory plan has been laid out. Does the enemy still attack us? You better believe it. Is his goal the same? You better believe it. But God gave us a book. And God said, you know what? Sin is in the world. And my creation needs help. So you stay Sunday morning and let's talk about the help we need. Where do we find it? Let's come back tonight and go to God's Word and say, okay, God, help. Yeah. Let's come back Monday night, Tuesday night. Let's just take 4 days and say, God, help. Give me an answer. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe it could not be better. You can praise God for that and just come out to pray for those who could use something better. But for most of us, we could go to God's Word 5 services and say, God, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Because God is able to give us answers for our family in this generation. How many of y'all praise God that God didn't just decide to stop in the Garden of Eden? He said, all right, you did wrong. Now let me kill an animal and give you a promise that someday my son is coming into this world and he's going to bruise the heel of that serpent and that serpent will be defeated once for all. How many of y'all praise God? The enemy is still attacking, but he is a defeated foe. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We are on the victory side. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Don't you walk out here today thinking there's no hope, because you are on the winning side. You have a Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, you have a Savior, and there is hope for your family and mine. And let's believe that, and let's seek God about it in this revival, this family revival. He's that good. All right? God bless you, and let's get ready for a morning service, shall we?